Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 18th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have with us Alexa Rollo. Alexa grew up in this church and now she's a student at Baylor University in Waco, and she is home for the summer and is an intern with our student ministry. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to a time after you read when we talk about things of life and faith.
Today's first reading is from Galatians 4. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery, under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is for Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. The next reading is Psalm 34, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants, no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Our last reading is Job 34. Then Elihu said, "Hear my words, you wise men. Listen to me, you men of learning, for the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good." Job says, "I am innocent, but God denies me justice. Although I am right, I am considered a liar. Although I am guiltless, his arrow inflicts an incurable wound. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water? He keeps company with evildoers. He associates with wicked men. For he says, it profits a man nothing when he tries to please God. So listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do evil, from the Almighty to do wrong. He repays a man for what he has done. He brings upon him what his conduct deserves. It is unthinkable that God would do wrong, that the Almighty would pervert justice. Who appointed him over the earth? Who put him in charge of the whole world? If it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to the dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to what I say. Can he who hates justice govern? Will you condemn the just and mighty one? Is he not the one who says to kings, 'You are worthless,' and to nobles, 'You are wicked,' who shows no partiality to princes and does not favor the rich over the poor? For they are all the work of his hands. They die in an instant in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and they pass away. The mighty are removed without human hand. His eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine men further, that they should come before him for judgment. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Because he takes note of their deeds, he overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them, because they turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. They caused the cry of the poor to come before him, so that he heard the cry of the needy. But if he remains silent, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, who can see him? Yet he is over man and nation alike, to keep a godless man from ruling, from laying snares for the people. Suppose a man says to God, 'I am guilty, but will offend no more. Teach me what I cannot see. If I have done wrong, I will not do so again.' Should God then reward you on your terms when you refuse to repent? You must decide, not I. So tell me what you know. Men of understanding declare, wise men who hear me say to me, 'Job speaks without knowledge, his words lack insight.' Oh, that Job might be tested to the utmost for answering like a wicked man. To his sin he adds rebellion. Scornfully he claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God."
Thank you so much, Alexa, for joining us for the podcast. I want to know a little bit about you. Tell me about yourself, your family, and maybe what you're doing these days.
Hey, Mary. Thank you so much for having me. Well, I'm about to go into my junior year at Baylor, and my family is in Birmingham, obviously, and I've just grown up at Mountain Brook Baptist, and this summer I'm actually interning for the youth ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist.
Awesome. We're so glad that you're here on staff this summer. Tell me what you're studying at Baylor.
So I'm double majoring in religion and international studies, and then my minors are Spanish and economics.
Wow, you have lots of different interests. Tell me how that kind of came about.
Well, I have no idea what I want to do with my life, and so that's how that happened. So I just decided to major in everything that I'm mildly interested in, but that's not true. I think I want to go to divinity school, and from there we'll just kind of figure it out, and then everything else is just for kicks along the way.
Tell me about your college experience. What have you enjoyed in this last semester, and what are you looking forward to in the days to come?
Well, this last semester, one of the highlights was I got to intern for the college ministry at my church, which was really fun because I got to see a lot of the behind the scenes of my church and get to know a lot of other people on leadership. And I'm really looking forward to, obviously, things opening back up after the pandemic so that our social activities and Greek life and things like that can go back to normal.
I always like to know about your journey of faith. Would you tell us maybe about how you came to faith, what the Lord has taught you along the way, and maybe something recently that he's been teaching you?
Yeah. So obviously I grew up in Mountain Brook Baptist, like I said. And so I just kind of grew up with the expectation that I would be baptized and with the expectation that I would be a Christian. And so I'm really good at doing what people expect of me. And so I became baptized when I was 8 because I didn't want to be the only one not taking communion on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. And so, but I still didn't really know like who God was. It was never really a question of if there was a God because I just believed that there was one. And so when I got a little bit older though, I kind of realized that something was missing from my life. And so I just decided to start praying. And there was never really a moment when I was like struck by lightning or anything. I just kind of eventually just started to realize that God was in my life because of prayer and the Holy Spirit. And then when I was about to go into high school, I started to have a lot of questions just about who God was and specifically about the justice of God. And surprise, surprise, did not come to any solid conclusions that are groundbreaking for theology. But I just kind of realized that if you look at the gospel, there's nothing selfish about that. And so even though we don't really understand what is going on in the world, the gospel is the truest picture of who God is, and there's nothing selfish or hateful about that. So yeah, I'm just kind of learning more about God. And then I think in this past season, obviously with the pandemic, I've been learning a lot to just trust in God more and trust in his provisions. And I think for a long time, I thought when people said that, it was just kind of an excuse for them to not take responsibility for the things that are going on and them just kind of put everything on the back burner and maybe not work or something and just say, oh, we're trusting in the Lord's provision. But I think I've been learning a lot that that's not at all how that works. You definitely still have to work. And like, for example, like if you're worried about housing for next year, you have to go actually look at houses and find roommates and things like that, but also trust that the Lord is going to be working through that process. So I think that's what I've been learning recently.
You mentioned being an intern here at the church this summer. What are you going to be doing?
Just a lot of hanging out with Tim and Ben and the high schoolers and middle schoolers in the youth group. And kind of from there is a little bit TBD. This is my second day. So
I hear that you love to read. Tell me about something that you have read recently that was of interest to you.
Well, one of my recent favorites is called American Prison by Shane Bauer. And Shane was a reporter who went undercover in a prison as a prison guard just to see how prisoners were treated in private prisons. And so he just wrote about the corruption of the for-profit prison industry and the history of the prison industry, which you can't really talk about that without also talking about slavery and mass incarceration. So it was really enlightening, and I would 10 out of 10 recommend it.
Thank you, Alexa, for joining us today. We would love it if you would end our time together with prayer.
Lord, we thank you so much for Mary and for this podcast and for the ways that this podcast has allowed us to stay connected as a church throughout the pandemic. We ask that you would continue to provide and support and sustain Mountain Brook Baptist in the years to come, and that people's hearts would continue to be changed in this church and even outside of these church walls, just within the people of the church as they go about their daily lives, Lord. And we just thank you for all of the ways that you've continued to sustain us. And we thank you so much for your son. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.